We talked about the 50s, but in the 60s, times were a-changing.
Yes.
Because in the 60s, Tulsa then would have been in the middle of the civil rights movement.
Right.
How did you involve yourself in that?
I was asked by the late Reverend B.S. Roberts and the late Reverend Ben H. Hill to join the NAACP movement in the civil rights struggle. I was appointed one of the sponsors of the young people, the youth. Matter of fact, being a younger pastor myself, my job, along with Reverend B.S. Roberts, working with the NAACP, we sponsored the young people who did the sit-in demonstrations and the marches and that sort of thing. We did all.
Can you explain some sit-in situations here in Tulsa? What would you do?
What we would do, we would each Saturday, and I spent a lot of money out of my pocket doing this, but each Saturday we would meet at B.S. Roberts Church, St. John AME it was. A group of young people would always meet with us. Parents would drop them off. We would talk with them first, and then we would take them to the various eating places. And, of course, we had to provide them with funds for fear that they were allowed to eat in the place. But what was happening in so many places, even on the north side, they had abortions out there in what's called Northland that we weren't allowed to eat in. What happened, we'd just drop them off. There would always be an adult with them, of course. If they were served, then we could say, you know, we didn't bother that place anymore. But if they were, threw them out, sometimes they would throw folk out bodily, or they would call the police, and they would be arrested for trespassing. That's where conflict with my wife and I came in. My wife was a juvenile officer. And when they bring the kids down to the city hall, it would be her responsibility to book these kids in as trespassers. I would sometimes go with them into the place, but I would always be with that group that got up and walked out when they would ask you to go out and were not arrested. One reason for it, I hated it, was put on the spot. My wife, being a police officer, she told me that at any time that she was forced to book me and trespass with them kids, she was going to quit her job. And at that time, Mount Zion wasn't paying me enough to keep both of our heads above.
So that's why she became a police officer, is to supplement your income.
Well, yeah, well, she was working when I became. For some reason, I won't say it was just to supplement my income, but it was to help, I'm sure. What happened, she was doing fairly well as a nurse at Morden Hospital, registered nurse, one of the few registered nurses they had. But they only had one African-American police woman on the force, and she was retiring. So she saw in the paper where they were giving a civil service exam for someone to take her place. She just out of the blue decided to go down and take the civil service exam and made the highest score of others who took the exam, and they hired her. She was the second African-American police woman on the Tulsa Police Force, and she worked with the police force for 20 years.
She never did have to book you in.
No, she didn't have to book me in because I was careful not to embarrass her by having to go down there.
But I suppose these demonstrations or protests were all to be peaceful, and that was
They were peaceable protests. No violence was involved. Kids, those who didn't mind being booked in for trespassing, went on. And, of course, the parents had to come. And I don't think no fine was placed against them. They'd just take them in down there and call their parents, and their parents had to come down and get them out. They wouldn't have to pay no fee or nothing like that. And one of the things I was fearful of, I never did want any law breaking on my record. That was one thing also, that I never went to jail. Reverend Ben H. Hill never went to jail either for burning AME. But Reverend B.S. Roberts, who was of St. John AME, went several times to jail. But I don't think no fines were levied, anything like that.
Was it mostly restaurants you were targeting?
That was about it, the restaurants.
Were they downtown Tulsa?
Downtown and different parts of the city. During that time, I want to mention the fact that we had ministers from all across the city of various denominations who would join us in checking out restaurants to see whether they were open to African Americans. Like a white preacher would join up with me, and we would check out a restaurant. We'd go in there and order, and if they served us without any complaints, then we wouldn't bother that one anymore. We'd write that one up, and you don't have to worry about that one. And because we worked toward getting the public accommodation ordinance passed, and I think it was a good thing that it was passed, because even the proprietors found out that the color was not white or black, but green, you know.
The green money.
That's green money. Right. And I even talked with some of the owners of places where they wouldn't allow us to be served. One guy told me that they were fearful we as African Americans would come in, and some of those who had prejudices would feel intimidated by coming in there. And then once we got the place open, we'd walk off and leave the place, and then we'd draw a lot of his customers who were regular customers who were coming in there. And we wouldn't be a supporting type of a customer because we were temporary, mm-hmm. you see. You could sympathize with a person who was in business to make money.
Right.
But finally, they realized that once they opened the doors, everybody could go in and nobody was paying attention to any others.
You saw it begin to make a difference.
Definitely.
You'd have anywhere from 10, 20, 30 who would just come onto a restaurant.
Yes.
And somebody would walk in and say, we're here to be served.
Yeah.
So he'd see all those people out there, yeah. and he would either decide, no, I will not, or say, okay, you're here, yeah. come on in.
Right.
Once you did that and they served you once, then that restaurant said, okay, we're open to both blacks and whites.
Right.
It was making a difference.
It was making a difference, yes. Some place, I've forgotten where it was, we were in a restaurant out of town and seeing what had happened in Tulsa with African Americans eating all over town in places. We went in this town, maybe two ministers attending a meeting. The waitresses there, they would come and tell us, well, we're going to serve you, but we want you to know that if a boss comes in and he come in and embarrass you, don't feel badly about it, or something like that. Hmm. You just had to sit there and eat in a hurry, hoping that the boss is not going to come in so you would have a confrontation with him. So the servant group were on a spot because of such stuff like that. Hmm. On many cases, we'd gone into places, even between here and Muskogee, fish market, where they serve fish, down around Coweta, somewhere out there on Highway 51. I'd go in there and order fish. They would fix it for you to carry out.
But they wouldn't let you stay there and eat it.
I was a little reluctant to do that, but I have been with some ministers who would say, well, if we can't eat it in here, we don't want it. I mean, even though we had them to fix it up to be carried out. That's the kind of thing that was going on during those times.
You said a public accommodation ordinance was passed. Was that a city?
A city ordinance.
That would have been the later 60s?
I've forgotten what year it was. It was possibly after 63, because wasn't the
yes.
march on Washington?
In 63.
In 63. It's probably after 63.
Yeah.